Shalom, brethren, and good morning to you all. This is Brother James Veremu from Zimbabwe. We want to thank the Lord who has granted us again this opportunity to be of this mind, that we worship Him, and that we put this day before Him, even as He has given us grace to look up to Him. Before we read the scripture, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before the throne of mercy. I want to thank you, Lord of glory, for this time you have given us, and also the strength, and Father God, the soundness of mind, that we come before you and we commit our day even to you, that Lord God, you may be our guide, that Lord God, you may bless us and lead us in all that pertains to this life, even for this day. We commit all this, Lord, in the hands of our for your own glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's just turn to our Bibles to the book of the 2 Timothy, chapter 1. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, we will read verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We are looking at this word mind as we are admonished by the word of God in the book of Romans, that we should not be conformed to this world, but rather be ye transformed by the renewal of the mind. Now, we all know from what we have seen that we all come from a background of corruption. David said, my mother conceived me in sin, and I was born in iniquity, or rather shaped in iniquity. I came to the world speaking lies. We all came into this world on a wrong footing. That's why now the Bible says there must be a change. As Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And also in the book of Colossians, we saw that when we come to God, we leave all the filthy things of our past life, and then excuse me, and then we are conformed in our minds, you know, we are renewed in the mind by the true knowledge. So God has imparted upon us the true knowledge of who we are and what God is to us. We are all children of God. As the Bible says, we were not born of corruptible seed, but we were born by the word of God, which abides forever. So that means God has put in us something that abides. When you look back to our father Abraham, when he went to deliver Lot, there was something that happened to him. He met Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. When you look at Melchizedek, he is one without father, mother, without beginning of days, is one without ending of life, of years. He is the priest. And he met Abraham and blessed him. Why he met him in that form, excuse me, it shows that there had to be a continuity of Abraham's service to God. and a continuity of the word of God in Abraham throughout the generations. So when Abraham was blessed, Melchizedek pronounced the blessing upon Abraham that the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, should bless Abraham. Now, the blessing of God comes from himself. Now, God is living. That's why he came to Abraham in this form of Melchizedek, to show forth the continuity. And also when Abraham gave tithes, the Bible says Levi, who was in Abraham, gave tithes. So you can see the continuity of the work of Abraham through all his seed up to this time. That which was given to Abraham was for life. No wonder the scripture says God is not the God of the dead but of the living, because he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So when we look at this mind, when Paul says we must be conformed, we must not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. That is the renewal, the metamorphosis of our mind, that we may safeguard. Now, when we safeguard, here we have seen in the scripture, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We are not given over to fear. Now, we all know that fear comes upon one when he meets, when he sees, or when he hears a certain thing that will bring fear to him. It's a disposition of one's person or personality. When fear comes, one is bound to do things that he normally cannot do because he's afraid of a particular situation or of a particular thing. So God has given us the spirit of a sound mind. So it shows that in the mind, there must be set something that will stabilize, something that will make us stand firm on what we've believed and what we've accepted before God. We should not be swerved. We should not be tossed about by any wind, be it of doctrine or be it of something evil that may be, you know, attacking us in our spirit or in our life. So being of a sound mind means we are sober, we are not intoxicated by the bad things or the wrong things. So now it comes to the mind. There must be a continuity of soundness. There must be a continuity of power, of love, and of standing. And we don't do that out by emotion. We don't do it out of fanaticism. We do it from a background, a foundation that is stable and that is focused. So the mind must be sound. This is what the scripture is showing us. Paul, in the book of Philippians, he speaks much of the state of mind. Maybe we can just read in chapter 2 of the book of Philippians. I just want to read from verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, in our life, in our daily living, in our serving God, we are admonished by the scripture that if there be any comfort of love, we are living in a state or in the world where there is tumult and there are wars and there are all these disturbing things. But now we are brought into the comfort of the love of God and fellowship of the Spirit and bowels and mercies. Now, then we are told, let us be like-minded. It is our mind. We are minded to have fellowship in the Spirit. It's not something that we just bump into, but it is set in our mind. It is in our mind to have fellowship. It is in our mind to have mercy. It is in our mind to have love, to be of one accord. And because it is our mind, we finally become of one mind. Can you see that? Like David said, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It is not in unity of some work or in unity of something that we may be doing, but it is the unit of mind. Because if you are united in the mind, we have one mind, we have one purpose, then it is possible to advise one another. Okay, let's say one is overcome by some sin or something that is not good. Now, although he has been taken or he has been led into that, but in him he has that mind of that love of God, that mind of purity, that mind, he has been taken captive. And those also who are like-minded, if they come to him to pull him out of the mud that he has fallen into, he himself will be of the same mind. He wants to come out of this because originally that was not his mind. Because if somebody falls in or goes into sin or does something wrong, and it is coming from the mind, it's difficult or maybe impossible to bring him out. It was like it was in the days, Cain. He had set up his mind. He had made up his mind to sacrifice what he had sacrificed. Even God himself, when he came to show him that this is not the way to do it, he was adamant. Because his mind was set to do it the way he wanted to do. And then Abel came and tried to talk with him. He finally killed Abel. So, being of a sound mind, you may be caught up in something that is wrong. You may be taken up by something that momentously comes to disturb you. But if your mind is set to be on the word of God, if your mind is in that process or in that way of the metamorphosis, whereby you are looking toward that which is right, it will be possible to bring you out because your mind is not corrupted. Your mind is set then you have, there is the ability to come back. Let's look at Peter. His mind was set to do that which was right. That's why when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, he said, is it I? His mind was not set to depart from the Lord or to forsake the Lord. But we know that he was caught up in that courtyard when it was said to him, you are one of them. He just said, no, I'm not. I don't know him. That was something out of fear, out of a momentous thing that just happened without his preparedness. But because he had a mind set in him to be with the Lord, that's why he even took out his sword and struck the high priest's servant. When the cock crowed and the Lord looked at him there in the courtroom, he remembered what the Lord had said, and he remembered what he had done, and there was room for him to repent. So is it when we have that one mind in fellowship, in the family of God, we have that mind which is surrendered to God as not a momentous thing, but a continual thing that is happening or that is working in us. And then it says, let not every man look on his own things, but on others also. For we must have the mind that was in Christ. That should be us. We should have that mind. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ never did anything by cause of eventualities or what had happened, but he was always on that which was originally set in him and for him from the beginning. When he was hungered, the devil said, change these stones. That thing could not take him because it was set in him that he must do the Father's will. And he says, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So we can see the continuity or the steadfastness of the Lord on the principles of the word, because his mind was set to do the things of God. As I said, the book of Philippians, you know, it just shows us, you know, the state of mind. In chapter 3 of the same book of Philippians, when we go to verse 14, it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything, ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Amen. Paul is saying he's pressing towards the high calling, toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. So he was set in his mind to attain that standard, to attain that mark of the price of the high calling. And now he's admonishing us, all those who are like-minded, those who have the same mind, not those who are, you know, just, you know, excited to do something for God. Not those who have just, you know, fallen into something. But it is a people who are minded. who have the mind of Christ in them, who have come to a particular standard, like Paul here says, who have come to a particular perfection, who have come to a particular stand, that we be minded of this thing that God has called us to. We don't just do the will of God just because we want to attain, we just want to get something there and then. But it is set in our mind that we live. We are motivated. We are pushed. We are standing. We are established on that right and sound mind. And because of that, it will bring us into that oneness of fellowship, into that oneness of being together and attaining the purpose of God. David, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 111, he says in verse 5, "He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant." So the Lord, when he's dealing with us, there is a covenant. With Abraham, he established that covenant. With Isaac and also with Jacob. And when it comes to us, it was on that day when he took the bread and he took the cup. And he says, "This is the cup of the blood of my covenant, of the new covenant, which was established with us." So our worshiping God or our fellowship with God is not circumstantial. It's not caused by circumstances, but it is through the unbroken and living covenant. So God himself, when he deals with us, he is mindful of his covenant. Just imagine, God, he has set his mind upon the covenant, and he is mindful of that. He knows it. He lives it. He believes it. He executes it because it is his mind. It is his covenant. And that covenant is intertwined with his mind. So God is mindful of us. God brought us to him through the mindfulness of his word toward these people. He was mindful of his covenant with Abraham when the people of Israel were languishing in Egypt. He was mindful of his covenant with us even before the foundation of the world, when he wrote our names on the book of life. He was mindful of that. And in due season, he sent his son to give us that spirit of adoption, that we may be children of God. He was mindful of what he purposed in himself even before the world began, that we may be conformed to that image of his dear son. So it is not something that just happened or was momentous, but it was set in himself. So when we serve God, we serve him from the mind. Our mind is not corrupted. Our mind is not set on the wrong things. As much as we can fall into temptations, as much as we can fall into, you know, some calamity of this world, but if our mind is set on the things of God, there is room for repentance. There is room for coming back. There is room for correction, because we are set in our minds to serve God. May God help us in this day and in this hour in which we are living, where we know the devil knows his time. He has not many days. And he's bringing in all these corrupt things
and winds of doctrine and things like that to deter us from the principle of our faith and our hope. May our minds be set on the things of God. May our minds be renewed every day. There must be a renewal of that covenant, a renewal of that commitment, a renewal of that setting, that we may serve God from a pure mind, from a pure conscience, a living thing in us, an abiding thing in us, set on our minds, which is the gateway to our soul, the gateway to our spirit, the gateway to our heart, the gateway to our conscience. Let's not be, not functional in our minds. Let our minds be working and alert and committed to the things of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, so that together we have one mind, and whatever then we do, we will accomplish it by the power and by the blessing of that oneness which comes from God. May God bless you as we go about our daily chores in this day. Let us set our minds on the perfection and the purpose of God, that we may serve Him in this day. And at the end of the day, we can come before God with a life that has pleased Him, with a life that is adoring and respecting and committed to the will and the purpose of God. May God bless you all. Amen.